Have you heard of call that statement game? Have you called that?
Yeah, I don't. Not at this time of year, right? Like this is. Well, it was a big game. We need it. First place team. We're going to hit them, including tonight, them twice, Colorado twice in the stretch. So pretty powerful teams. You know, the perfect first shift to give us get the crowd fired up, get the game going for us. But they're 9-1, so they've done a lot of good things and got through the first. We wouldn't have loved the first 10 minutes of our second, and Connor was good all night. Like, I mean, I know the fans appreciated it, but to really appreciate how good he was, you really have to watch that game again. A lot of small areas, small saves that maybe that didn't look like a couple that maybe that Marc-Andre made at the other end, but he had a volume of really important saves. And what it did was, I think the second half of the second period through the end of the third, and then by that time they're running their bench completely different, right? They've come off it. But in that stretch, the first was 3-0 for the good guys, but the chances weren't in our favor by the end of that first period. And we were playing hard. They're a good hockey team. But after the 10-minute mark of the second, I thought we were pretty good.
Is the start just a byproduct of the rest? Is it a shift in mentality after the stretch where it wasn't
no,
so
good? I'm not going to put a whole lot into the starts. Like as a chain, okay, now we're playing the game we're supposed to be playing. Like, we should be up 3-0 after every game if we just do it right. Like, we had three goal for us. We've had chances, lots of chances in first periods that didn't at the same time. They had a bunch, too. So it was a tighter first period than the 3-0 score said it was.
Coach, when the game goes to 3-0, you mentioned it kind of changes. So can you explain the difficulty of focus after that point and then comment on how generally your team did handling that after 3-0?
So the change isn't necessarily a focus shift for us. But at 3-0, you got a really dangerous team off the rush, right? They've scored a huge number of their goals. And then the confusion, so they just amped that up, right? Their risk changes completely. And they had it on us a little bit. We were on our heels trying to sort that out. And then we got back on their D a little bit and got some zone time, got a power. That goal, the fourth goal, changes the game. But they've got a pretty dominant team right now. They're playing exceptionally well, and they can make you pay. So when they changed their game, we were just okay with it. We weren't great, but our goalie was, and then we got back to the point that we started to play the game in the other end a bit.
Well, what did you see from Matthew Pearl in his return outside?
Well, more than what you saw on the ice. On the ice was really good, scoring goals, but he's talking on the bench and he's keeping guys excited and he's having fun. Enjoying the pressure, enjoying it. They didn't get him out there a whole lot. More function of the way they were running their bench. I couldn't find. They split some lines up and made it a little harder to find a line for him. But lots of real good energy in the room. And Frenchie enjoys scoring a goal as much as anybody, and the people around him enjoy it even more because he celebrates the right way.
You've seen it for a couple of games now. What do you think of that pair, DeMello and Josh?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I think that... they're safe with each other. They understand each other. You can tell not so much by the guy that's either on the puck or making the play. It's what the other guy's doing while he's doing that. Where is he moving? Where are they reading each other? And there's lots of good there.
Does the trust that they've formed or the confidence that you get from that pairing, does it allow the forwards and otherwise, does it allow you to sort of change the way that you play a little bit?
Not in that. They're going to run and gun. It changes the way they play because we don't spend as much time in our end of the ice, right? They're clean exits, clean outs, some good passes. So, like, it doesn't seem like much, but if you can get one clean out, one more clean out a period, you can almost go from one of the worst exit teams to maybe one of the best exit teams in the National Hockey League. That band of the difference between a good breakout team and a bad breakout team is not a huge number. But that's how important one more breakout period is, right? You can go from 31st into the top 10 pretty quick with that alone. And with two guys that are moving the puck that are playing well together can give you that.
And I'm also wondering if you could maybe expand on, you mentioned the player who doesn't have the puck.
Right.
Is that just confidence that the
it's confidence in when it's slightly contested. So when Morrissey's going back to get a puck and it's slightly contested, DeMel's read's going to be totally based on what he thinks is going to happen. So he either goes to the front of the net because we're not going to win that battle, or he's going to become an outlet for him. And that difference, that decision is confidence and sometimes just experience with each other. That's why pairs that get together, play together, I know he's going to win this battle and I know he's probably putting it behind the net. Or Josh has a tendency to take a puck to the post and then cut back and put it up the middle of the ice. It changes your routes. So you need the experience, but certainly confidence in each other plays a big factor in how fast you can play.
And then you mentioned the fourth goal changed sort of the tone of the game, and that came off, I think that the penalty drawn by Eakin there was on one of the more offensive zone time shifts of that period, even leading up to that as well.
I like their line an awful lot tonight, I think. And it's important that they score and had chances so they start to believe in each other and what they can accomplish when you run cop in kind of a check and roll that allows them to play against a little different matchup, and that can be hard for the opposing team.
What makes your team so good at counter-punching?
Experience of taking the first punch, possibly. Surviving. It's in there. It's in the room. Right, they know that if something bad happens, they can rebound, they can get better, and they're not. For the most part, we aren't coming to the rink thinking, well, hey, if we just play our game, this should be 7-0. Right, we're coming in for a fight and going to get punched a little bit, and everybody gets that. So there's going to be some ugly in our game, but they've handled that really well and found a way to fight through it.
I mean, I take a look at the last couple of games, and when teams are making mistakes against your team. Your team's making them pay. Is that just simply elite skill?
I think our structure is better right now. And then it wasn't, the Scheifele line didn't have a major impact in the game, but for the most part, they're going to draw all the heavy fire, and they're still going to complete plays doing it. They're still dangerous against the other team's best, and that's going to create some room for other lines. They're going to draw the top pair of D, and they're top either defensive or two-way line, and that allows other players to find a match that we think they can exploit.